Hello everyone, hello loved ones. Welcome to Infinite Love Radio, enlightening conversations, inspiring guests. I'm Michelle Morovati, your host. I'm a spiritual healer, teacher, and author of 101 Transformational Insights for Mind, Body, and Soul. My global vision is to connect people to people just like you to create oneness. And through support and universal guidance, educate people just like you and I about the power within to heal oneself and others. Simply, I am here to love myself and love you all. You can learn more about me by visiting www.spiritualityinsideandout.com. And as always, I invite all of your questions, suggestions, and comments to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. Today and every day, my highest intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment and to cause and create oneness inside and out. Thank you for your participation, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve you. My heart is open to you. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you. On today's show, I will be sharing with you a prayer, like always, followed by our very special, inspiring guest. Our guest today is Guy Finley, who is the best-selling author of The Secret of Letting Go, Let Go and Live in the Now, and over 35 other books and audio programs that have sold over 1 million copies in 18 languages worldwide. Yes, he is busy. He's also the founder and director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, a center for self-study located in Oregon. His latest releases are The Essential Laws of Fearless Living and 365 Days to Let Go, Daily Insights to Change Your Life. Guy Finley's popular weekly email newsletter reaches 200,000 people, subscribers in 142 countries. To learn more about his foundation, please visit www.lifeoflearningfoundation.org. And to learn more about his book, please visit www.essentiallaws.com. We shall hear all about his purpose and his latest book a little bit later in the show, but for now I invite you to join me in the present moment. I invite you to just be. I invite you to just be. Being in the present moment as I am one with you here in the now, as our guest has chosen this specific time, honoring us as we're honoring him and these airwaves, creating and causing oneness inside and out. In this moment of your busy life, with all of your challenges, with all that you have to do, running here, running there, answering telephones, and all of your chores and responsibilities, I invite you to take this time to breathe. So here we go. Let us take several deep cleansing breaths in together. Let's go. Here we go. First one, take a deep cleansing breath in. And here we go. Exhale with an ah. I invite you, as you're breathing in the breath of life, allowing yourself to relax from head to toe. And as you exhale, letting all this tension just dissolve. And allowing yourself, letting yourself to become more and more present. Here we go. Another deep cleansing breath in. And again, exhaling with an ah. Really allow yourself to loosen up. Shake your arms, shake your legs, shake your head. You are so worth this present moment. Here we go. One last deep cleansing breath in together. And again, exhaling with an ah. I invite you to make the sound of ah, releasing from your throat chakra, from your throat. Just letting it all go, letting all this tension and responsibility, that heaviness, you can do it. You have the power within you. With the light within you, all things are possible. As we attune together here and the now, opening up our hearts to what is present, opening up the love and light within us that is ever present, eternally within us as us. In this moment of gratitude and appreciation to God, the Divine, the source of all good, the source of all creation, Spirit, Higher Power, Universe, whatever name you have for this sacred power, it is yours to own. In this moment, we just take this opportunity to thank for all of our blessings, for all of our challenges, for all of our opportunities and possibilities, knowing that we do have this power within us to heal every aspect of our being, inside and out. I invite you to allow yourself to be open to further discover, and self-realize your true self in the here and the now. As we're here together, we are here as our true selves, allowing ourselves to be light. Thank you very much for participating in this little prayer and meditation with me, joining together, being one. I appreciate it. And without further ado, again, let me just reintroduce our special guest, Guy Finley, who's the best-selling author of The Secret of Letting Go, Let Go and Live in the Now. His latest releases, The Essential Laws of Fearless Living, and 365 Days to Let Go, Daily Insights to Change Your Life. Without further ado, let us welcome Guy. Guy, welcome.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm glad to be with you today.
Thank you very much, taking this time out from your very, very busy schedule. We appreciate it. And I just want to say congratulations to your new book. I love it. A friend of mine emailed me a couple of days ago saying, Michelle, this is exactly what I need in my life right now. And she wrote that, and I was like, this is awesome. This is really awesome. That was a quick feedback. As she learned you're going to be on this show, she was really excited to tune in and listen further.
I'm glad that she was able to find some right ideas in it to help her, as I am for you.
Absolutely. Thank you. So, Guy, you know, as one that has lived in fear on some levels and continues to, as the challenges rise, as our listeners are listening and they're living this life where there's a lot of chaos going on, rising in gas prices, rising in food costs, people are having trouble paying mortgage and rent, layoffs of jobs, fear of their children's safety, health issues, relationship conflicts, the unknown, loneliness, struggling, and on and on and on and on. You have written this special book to help us out. For those people that are listening and they're going, can this one book help me actually deal with all my fears? Here we go. What would you say to that?
Absolutely. Absolutely they can, because if we're ready to understand it, the truth is we really only have one fear in life, and it's born out of not understanding who we are, not through the circumstances that we face. And once we get to where we need to put our attention, understanding what is really causing us to feel the fear we do, then life gets a little bit easier, because we stop fighting with ghosts and go to work on making the real changes we need to.
Mm. Would you say most of us have owned our fears and negative states all of our lives?
I would go a little further than that.
I'm sorry, that was funny. Okay, let us go further. Where are we going with this?
I would say that we are... all of us, it's virtually global now, Michelle. We have been born into a world where our present consciousness actually values fear.
Mm.
When we can start to see, which we can all do, where fear has become part of our value system, that's the beginning of the end of our consent to go along with what is really compromising us. And we can explore this for a moment if you want to.
Absolutely, let's. Because the foundation of this planet right now is fear, right?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. We'll never know a really fearless life, and I want to tell the listeners that a fearless life does exist. It isn't one that where one pretends not to be afraid. It isn't one where we walk around acting fearless. It's where we understand the inherent, innate goodness of the life that we've been given and how everything about it works for its own perfection. When we understand that, then we start to do what I think you talk a lot about, which is we begin, and this is the root of a fearless life, to value ourselves.
Mm.
Now, I want to go very slow here because a lot of people think, well, I already do, but I want to tell you, no, you don't.
Right.
What you value presently, and this is when I say fear has become part of our value system, is what most of us value are the things in our lives that provide us with a sense of value. That job, that relationship, that possession, that power,
mm-hmm.
that authority, that knowledge, those are instruments that grant us a sense of being a valuable human being because the rest of the world says that's what makes someone successful. But if we can see, which we're going to look into here, that when my sense of worth, of value, is predicated on something that I possess, then when the changes come that are mandated in this world, when conditions change, and that which was granting me this sense of worth changes, all of a sudden I feel like I have to protect myself from these changes. I have to resist and try to control things, because I actually fear that in the change of my relationship, the change of my job, the change of where I live, that I am going to lose something of myself.
Mm.
And that's where fear has become part of our value system, because we have found a sense of worth through things exterior to ourselves instead of directly becoming conscious of that which has given us this life, which is value itself.
Right. So accepting ourselves as we are, not looking outside, not attaching to people, things, situations for fulfillment, right?
Yes, and a lot of people, you know, don't understand that when we say, or at least, and I believe we're on the same page here, you can correct me if not.
Oh, yes.
When we say accepting ourselves as we are, it doesn't mean that in our hearts we are not endlessly striving to be the most excellent, awake human being we can be.
Mm-hmm.
It does mean, however, that when we see where we fall down, that we don't beat ourselves up or blame others. It means that when we're conscious of the fact that we've compromised ourselves, instead of trying to figure out how to save ourselves, we become awake to the part of us that has done that, so we can make it conscious within ourselves so we don't do it again. And there's a difference. It doesn't mean we accept what's wrong with us. It means we see what is wrong with us, bring that into the light of understanding, and let that understanding do for us what we've been unable to do for ourselves, which is change ourselves by trying to control what's wrong.
Right, right. And not hold other people accountable for our lives and our state of being and whatever.
That's huge.
Taking Michelle, responsibility.
That's huge.
Yes.
Blaming other people, it is impossible for us to find a fearless life as long as we blame any people outside of ourselves for how we feel. I say that when we blame others for the pain we feel, it's just like blaming our pants for being too tight. We put them on.
Yes. So as I was reading your book, I came across part of your chapter. If I may, I'm just going to read a little bit.
Sure.
All relationships suffer when stagnation sets in, whether in a pond or in our personal dealings with others. Everything must be continually refreshed in order to realize its true potential. For us, this means each reappearance of some old resentment, fear, or regret chokes the life out of our chance to love one another, which is our spiritual responsibility.
Yeah.
I love that. That really stood out for me, the statement.
There are great laws, Michelle, that we are not just a part of, but that are really the basis of our being. You know, not many of us think about it, but when we look at Scripture, East or West, we get the idea that, man, that woman was made in the image of God. And what that really means isn't that we're made, that we're, you know, that our physical form is the embodiment of God, but rather that our lives are really the expression of all of the forces, all of these beautiful principles acting at once, and they all live inside of us. And one of the great principles that we are mostly unaware of and suffer for it is this idea of circulation, that everything is in a very consistent movement, and through that movement converging with other forces that are alike and disalike and producing change that drives this wonderful mechanism, this life forward. Well, it's very much true when it comes to our relationships with other human beings. But we have a feature, all of us do, and we can call it a fixation. We derive our identity, and this is what we're talking about when we started the show.
Yes.
We derive our identity from becoming attached to and dependent upon ideas that we have about ourselves, people that we think have to be in our lives in order for us to feel secure, name it, and that fixation causes a congestion. And that congestion literally steals from us the natural movement of creativity that love is the expression of. And we really live outside of a world that we're meant to be a part of, because we don't understand the difference between being a participant moment to moment in life versus being someone who thinks they're supposed to possess things moment to moment in life. And it's a vast difference.
In order to feel whole, I must have this, I must gain that, more power here, more clothes, more cars, more this, more, right? It comes from
yes.
the ego.
Yes, like I said, there's just a part of us, it is a lower level of our present consciousness that finds its identity through thoughts about things. I mean, I don't own a car. The car in my garage isn't the sort of source of my comfort, but my thought about it being a BMW and that corresponding to what it means to be successful grants me a feeling of being a successful human being.
Oh, so beautifully said.
It's the thought that we have about these things and our relationship to it that we derive a sense of being from. But it is a lie. Because, as we've talked about, number one, we can't control the conditions outside of ourselves. And when the conditions change, goes with it our comfort. But more importantly, that who we are is not a thought creature. Thoughts are meant to be instruments. Possessions are meant to be simply instruments that allow us to take us through this life with a minimum of fuss, so that rather than, and here's the key idea, rather than the way things are now, where we set out to find a sense of freedom through these possessions and wind up serving them, we understand our relationship to these possessions, and instead of being captured by this identification, these things just play their natural role. I have a car, I have clothes, I stay clean, I eat as much good organic food as I can if possible, and the rest of it is not really important to finding the fulfillment for which we search.
Absolutely. Taking this opportunity, Guy, to reintroduce you for those of the listeners that may have just joined us. We've been speaking to Guy Finley, who's the best-selling author of The Essential of The Secret of Letting Go and Let Go and Live in the Now. His latest book is The Essential Laws of Fearless Living. To learn more about his book, please visit www.essentiallaws.com. We've been talking about fear. Valuing fear and
yes.
not taking responsibility and looking outside of ourselves for comfort. And I know in this book that you have specific insights and practical exercises that we can use in our daily lives to help us. Now, if there's a listener out there, just like it just came to me, saying, like, do you mean that I will never have fear in my life? Here, I hear it again, in completion. How can we specifically bring awareness to these people?
The first thing that we have to understand is that the fear that we feel feels real to us, but the why is a lie. It's a little poem. The feel is real, but the why is a lie. When we can begin, and this is why it's so important to have right ideas, new knowledge, to see for ourselves, Michelle, not because someone says so, not because I want to believe that it's possible to be fearless, but because I can see the fact of it. Now, I will show you something about this, and the listeners, if you will work with Michelle and I will show you how you can begin to take back and live from the natural power you have to be fearless. Here's how it goes. And Michelle, you help me get this point across.
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
First of all, it is impossible for a person to be afraid of anything without first resisting something. We're going to go through it slow. Before I fear what you said, what the news is about the economy, the terrorists, whatever it is, before I fear the situation, I must first have something in me that resists the news, resists the action. Can we see that this is true?
Yes, yes. Not being able to deal with it or accept it.
Yes. Now, the reason that this is so important is because it means that there, without this resistance, there is no fear. That let's say I'm sitting here and my mind starts to thought, you know, gosh, I've got an important interview tomorrow. Everything hinges on it. Or I'm going out on a date and I think that this may be him or her. You fill in the blanks. When my mind creates the image, which it does, of how this may turn out, it starts to think about what if.
It creates. It just goes on and on and on.
That's right. It produces, in this instance, a picture of what may happen, of how things may not go right, or how much I want them to go right, and because of that, fear the wrongness of it. But the point is this, that my mind first resists the thought, the idea, the information. It resists the moment. Then comes the fear. Now, the reason this is so important for us to see is because that means that the event itself does not have fear in it. The fear is the product of my mind resisting the event or the thought for reasons that have to do with what that same mind says it must have or do. So the root here, which is where the power lies, is in me waking up and seeing that I want to blame the situation for my fear, but I wouldn't be afraid if there weren't a part of my consciousness that first resisted it. So now I can put my attention where the real disturbance, where the real problem is taking place. So can we see now right away, if we can see the truth of this, that when my mind starts to look at you or them or this as the fearful situation, I now realize, wait a minute, my attention should not be on that, but it should be on my own momentary resistance, this contraction that is taking place in my consciousness that's the producer of this fear.
Absolutely. Would you say we're resisting the present moment and attaching into the future?
Here's how I would put it.
Because when I'm in the present, I practice the present and I'm just here in the now.
Yes.
I'm here. When I'm here, then there's no fear of what is in the future because I'm here.
All right, look. Would help me, do you agree? I wouldn't resist that moment unless it represents something I don't want.
Right.
Right?
Right, right.
Now,
exactly.
The fact that that moment represents something I don't want means that I couldn't have that resistance if there wasn't something in me that did want what it did.
Right. So paying specific attention to our resistance.
I'm sorry?
So paying specific attention to our resistance.
Yes, bringing my attention back and realizing the reason I'm feeling this fear now is because something in me insists that life be different than it is in this moment. And the reason it insists that it's different than it is because my sense of self is vested in the continuity, in the continuation of things being as they have been. Not in the present moment, but rather the past asserting itself on the present moment and disagreeing, believe it or not. I mean, how can you disagree with reality? But that's what we do. And I disagree with what you just said because it runs counter to how I feel I should be spoken to. So this resistance, Michelle, is the big key. Now, here's the next major idea. And this is big.
Let us take notes, dear loved ones. Resistance.
This is big. Are you ready?
Okay.
Resistance is negative attraction. Resistance is negative attraction. That means that whatever I try to push away for the fear of it, I am actually embracing in ever-increasing strength.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the proof of it.
You're giving power to what you're resisting. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry?
We're giving power to what we're resisting.
We're actually creating it.
Yes.
Resistance to the disturbance is the disturbance.
Yes.
So if we take our two hands, and everybody, you can do this, if you can hold your phone on your shoulder or put down the phone after you hear this, put your two hands together and imagine that your right hand is the moment that you don't want, the fearful moment, and the left hand is what you, how you wish it would go away. So on one hand I've got what I want, on the other hand is me not wanting it. And I'm trying to push away the moment I don't want. So push your two hands together, which is what resistance is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's opposing forces. Now, are my hands getting further apart or closer together?
Closer.
Closer together. Is the pressure increasing or decreasing as I try to push it away?
Yeah, yeah, increasing, and it's like struggle.
Yes.
Sucking my energy away.
Yes. This is exactly what is going on in the mind when it fears something. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It is a thought pushing against a thought that it doesn't recognize as being part of the same structure of the consciousness. And so thought fights with thought, the pain and the fear increases, and the more it increases, the same divided mind pushes harder to try to come up with a new plan, a way to change the circumstance, when it's really cementing the circumstance and the consciousness that produces it, which is why not only the fear doesn't go away, but it actually gets stronger and eventually returns, if not altogether, larger, certainly in a new form. We did not learn the lesson in the moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let us stop resisting what is in the present moment.
Yes? Well, if we ever want to be kind, if we ever want to know what it means to be patient, to not judge others, to not hurt ourselves, you know, most of what we do that compromises us, Michelle, is done when we think we're doing what's in our best interest to protect ourselves from something or someone.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason people pick up drinks or drugs or get involved in self-destructive physical patterns is because they believe that it helps them to do that. Well, only a divided mind, meaning a mind that cannot see that when it compromises itself, it's hurting itself. Only a mind looks and says, well, here's what I need to do, and then it imagines a way to feel better, becomes identified with that sensation, not recognizing that it would never need to imagine a way to feel better if it wasn't feeling bad, and resisting that. So the more it tries to feel good in a time to come, the more it guarantees that that consciousness that's unhappy, incomplete, frightened, will go on and on and on and create similar situations endlessly.
Right, right. I just want to share with you, Guy, and our listeners that a couple of weeks ago I was doing some meditation on my fears. Just wanted to see what kind of fears I have. And one unconscious mind that really came up for me is that I always share this. I'm going to share with you, Guy, that 7 years ago I was diagnosed. No, it's 8.5 years ago. I was diagnosed with lupus, and I'm fine now. It's been 6 years that I'm fine, but my body shut down during lupus.
Yes.
You know, I was diagnosed with central nervous system. I was halfway paralyzed, memory
yes.
loss, all of that stuff. And then several years later, this is 2.5 years ago, I was struck by an SUV when I was crossing the street. Here we go again. My body was shut down again for a month.
Yes.
And so this fear was inside me, and it was really unconscious. And when it came up, it came up as fear of my body shutting down.
Yes.
I just started to cry and cry and cry, and after I just like cried for 5 minutes, this energy just flushed out of me, and I just don't feel the fear anymore. And I just wanted to bring that up because I feel like a lot of our fears are so unconscious. I was really not aware of this.
You know,
it's
right. Michelle, you know,
yes.
One of the reasons that we don't, how do I say this, that we don't continue developing our hearts and minds spiritually, that this love that we're intended to know in deeper measure doesn't grow in us, is because we have yet to really understand that we are not our own thoughts and feelings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We really don't understand that, because when we have certain thoughts and feelings and they're pleasurable, kind, loving, we love the feeling of being someone like that, and we take ourselves to be these thoughts and feelings. But then when these thoughts and feelings flip, and suddenly we start to be fearful and worried, and we start getting anxious and angry, then we deny these thoughts and feelings. We try to push them away because we're not supposed to be like that.
Right.
But there's a completely different order of consciousness that is trying to get through to all of us. And part of what this instruction that it has, if you will, is the recognition that, you know, the fear that I feel, let's go into yours. You know, I had a life-threatening illness. I was severely injured in an accident. And I know what it's like to be unable to physically move a part of my body.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it's like to be threatened with my own mortality. And I'll throw this in just for the sake of it, but I don't want to discuss it. I, too, have known those moments.
Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Now, the body and the mind, they go through these events. The brain makes of these experiences certain very powerful images loaded with conditioned memory, sensory, all of the experience loaded in. And then, because the mind is a divided mind, it will from time to time throw up on the screen of our consciousness a what-if picture. You know, like, oh my God, what if that happens? Because I've been down this road. What if this takes place? That would be even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it will try, it literally will try to frighten us.
Yes.
Now, here's the key. Would you, Michelle, go to an art store, find a painting on the wall in the art store that when you looked at it, it made you shudder, sick to your stomach, and full of rage? Would you buy that painting and take it home and put it on your wall so you could look at it every morning?
Well, let me think about it. Maybe if I was really out of balance or drunk.
Right. Right, so not a chance.
Right.
And all of us understand that we would never buy a picture that when we look at it makes us feel angry, fearful, or hateful. And yet, our minds will throw up there on the screen of that consciousness a picture of what may happen to us, a picture of what someone did to us 10 years ago or 100 years ago, a thought about an event where we were embarrassed and where the humiliation is painted there on that canvas, and the mind will revisit these things, and we will think that somehow or other we are somehow responsible for what we're looking at. Here's our responsibility. It is to recognize in that moment that the mind has put a picture up on that screen of consciousness for the sake of giving itself a thrill, for the sake of producing yet another plan by which we'll become greater or better than what we were faced with in the past. And all we need to realize is that we don't need power in that moment. What we need is to see where our own mind is rendering us powerless by first putting a picture up there on the mind, in the screen of the mind, and then resisting the very picture it puts up. See? And that's how we get our power back, Michelle. We start to realize that it isn't power I need. I need to wake up where something inside of me is trying to drag me down into a past pain, into a future fear, and realize the only reason I'm resisting it is because I believe that first, I'm the one who has this thought or feeling, and now I'm the one who has to save myself from it. I am not the one who put the picture up there, and I am not the one who has to save myself from it. I am the one who must bring the light of awareness of the present moment to bear, and then seeing in the present that something from my past or my future is trying to draw me into some action to keep it alive, and I'm done with it. And then we find fearlessness because we simply have stopped agreeing to be made afraid by a false nature.
Guy, I really get your passion for what you're saying. Amen! Oh, Guy, taking this opportunity to introduce you again. So we've been speaking to best-selling self-realization author, Mr. Guy Finley. We've been speaking about his latest book, And Fear Itself, The Essential Laws of Fearless Living. For more information on this book, please visit www.essentiallaws.com. And for more information on his foundation, please visit www.lifeoflearningfoundation.org. We've been speaking about lies and how we resist the present moment. And now we're going to speak further about the light of the present moment. But before we do that, Guy, I'm aware that...
Michelle, Michelle, before we go on,
yes.
If it's confusing at all, just guyfinley.org.
Okay.
Just G-U-Y-F-I-N-L-E-Y, guyfinley.org, and the Essential Laws material is there, or you can go to essentiallaws.com. And my foundation is offering some free gifts with the book, too, Michelle.
Yes, that's what I was just going to bring awareness to. Would you like to, or should I?
You do it.
I know that you have 6 bonus free gifts. So you have a free offer for a 60-minute DVD. And 2 free 60-minute MP3s and 3 free e-books.
Yes.
So there's a lot of gifts. You know, but where I'm coming from, to be honest, we don't really need all these gifts to buy this book.
Well, it's such, you know what? We want people to get this information. It's time for us to grow up.
Absolutely.
Michelle, I want to ask you a question.
Yes, please.
Where are you?
Go ahead and interview me.
I love your voice. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Iran. Now, listen to this. I'm originally from Iran. I'm a Jewish background, and my religion is love and oneness.
I do love your voice. It almost sounds a little bit French to me, Parisien.
Oh, parlez-vous français?
Oui, je parle un peu, but you're from Iran.
That's great. Oh, French is a new one. You know, I've been told Spanish, Arabic, Italian, all this stuff. But now French also. Thank you.
Vivian.
So, you know, here we go. In your book again, I read, life, this moment and every moment is a school for the education of the soul. Now, I have clients, and in my meditation classes weekly, I have people saying, I am sick and tired of learning. When is this going to end? Am I here just to learn? What is this all about? Right? I hear you say, it's a school for the education of the soul. Well,
yeah.
This is my knowing as well. So for those of us who say we're sick and tired of all these learnings, one after the other, what would you like to say to them?
I would say that real learning, the learning itself, I want to change the word.
Okay.
I want to substitute the word integration for learning.
Oh, okay.
Because in a moment where we really learn something, what's taken place is that parts of us that were formerly divided, where I thought I knew something and didn't, where I was sure something was wrong and found out it wasn't, then in that moment, an integration takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So that it isn't, learning isn't hard. What's hard is that there's something in us that doesn't want the integration. This is why so many people don't succeed with their spiritual life, because we get caught in an imagined self that believes nothing in it wants anything other than the light. And it's not true. We are a mixture. We are creation of a God life that has in it this marvelous matrix of darkness and light. Not darkness in the moral sense, but darkness in the unregenerate sense. Darkness in the sense of something that still requires further integration, transformation. Mm-hmm. And it's the marriage of the light of awareness within us with this ground of darkness, with what we have yet to understand about ourselves, that produces this genesis, the true act of love, in which a new form is born, and me, you, we emerge in the moment of real integration, a different creature than we were the moment before the lesson was learned. And there's no end to it. So when we fear, for instance, our own fears, when we see that we have anger in us, and instead of being awake and bearing consciously the state that is in us, instead we'll blame people or we'll hate ourselves. And in that moment, there's a wrong handoff. There's a shuttle that takes place where these energies that are meant to be brought together, this primal anger, this fear produced out of resistance, is meant to meet the awareness, the light of this understanding that brings a total change into us so that we exit that moment different instead of being someone who, having excused themselves or justified themselves one more time, just goes on, and by the way, to meet the same lesson over and over again until the integration takes place, and then when something's perfected, there's no need for it to be repeated.
Mm. Until we stop believing that we're victims.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Victim of this, victim of relationship, victim of money.
The only thing we are a victim of is our own misunderstanding of our possibility as a person to make change in the moment. We never meet anything in our way. No limitation exists apart from what we have yet to understand about ourselves. That's why we must take the arrow of attention and bring it back within ourselves in the moment of a trial or a crisis. And if we'll bring our attention back, I have an exercise I call stop, drop, and endure. If we'll bring ourselves back, stop. Don't let our mind start to go on with this, that, who's to blame. You know, I was punished as a child. My parents abused me. The litany of excuses that that mind makes up when faced with a challenge. And then we drop all of that superfluous thought and feeling that's trying to get us to go do something or plan something. And then we endure. We let the light of awareness meet this darkness in us, this unknown in us, this movement that can't be directed, and something miraculous will happen. We turn the moment over in the present moment, and here's a word I love, to the presence of the moment. Because the real present moment is a presence, and that presence knows exactly what to do. In fact, it has brought this darkness together with this moment for the purpose of being able to marry them so that love can rise and have a new life over and over again through us.
Yes, yes. And for you guys, for those people that are loving all of your talk, they want more and more of what you're talking about.
You're adorable, Michelle.
So I understand that on September 14th through the 19th, you're offering an intensive, a five-day workshop.
Oh, yeah.
At the renowned Omega Institute in New York. And for them to learn more about this, they can go to guidefeeling.org. Is that where they go?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to be, as you said, 5 days at the Omega Institute just in New York, all brand new. I've been working on it for the last couple of months. I'm going to present basically a brand new book, sort of Essential Laws of Fearless Living Part 2, that will help people actualize with exercises and practices some of the new insights that I'm going to be presenting and that are also in the book.
I invite people to come.
Go to GuyFinley.org. If you happen to be somewhere in Southern California, if there's a chance of that, I'm going to be at the Bodhi Tree in August, someplace down in Irvine. So lots of ways in which we can get in touch and share these ideas. GuyFinley.org. Go to the appearances section.
Absolutely, because I really get your passion is coming from the light within you to help humanity shift from fear to love and acceptance. Yes?
We are so much, you know. I, Michelle, I talk here in Southern Oregon at the foundation.
Yes.
I speak here three times a week to a group of roughly 40, 50 students, maybe more, sometimes less. And just last Wednesday night, I gave a talk that goes hand in heart with what we're doing right now.
Yes.
And here was the root of it. You ready?
Yes.
Do you know what it is that we want as human beings more than anything else in the world?
To be loved.
Nope.
What is it?
We want to be ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because if we could be ourselves, we would find there the love that actually drives us to search for the things we're searching for. We are, each and every one of us, the most unique, and I don't know how God does this, we are each and every one of us.
Because God is magnificent.
Huh?
Because God is magnificent.
Yeah, we are each and every one of us the most unique creature ever made. Each and every one of us. And each and every one of us is invited by life, moment to moment, to experience the uniqueness of what it is to be in relationship with that divine life that is revealing itself to itself through us. And we get to be the one who has the unique experience of that revelation. And that's what real participation is. That's what real fulfillment is. And that's why real fearlessness is born out of recognizing that only when we start to participate in this presence moment are we given this new understanding about ourselves that transcends any false need we have to be approved of or possess possessions and powers outside of ourselves, because we have it all in us if we just knew where to look.
Inside, the power of the present moment. Guy, I want to talk briefly about your other new book, 365 Days to Let Go.
Let's not do it.
Oh, no, just real quick? no, please.
Okay,
no, stop resisting.
Okay. Well, the 365 Days to Let Go is the second
Hold on. There's a quote
okay,
here
right.
that I saw in the Life of Learning catalog. There is a Life of Learning catalog, the works of Guy Finley.
Yes.
And I saw your quote here. When the love of God, which God is my passion, is your guide, you never step into a moment that isn't what you've always been waiting for.
Oh, I like that.
I like it too. Thank you.
I like that. That's what I'm saying to you. I'll say it to you another way. Each and every one of us finds the fearless life when we awaken to realize that we are made for what happens to us moment to moment.
Mm. Yes. The love of God present in us, guiding us, ever present. You know how much I love God? With a passion. Where is God? Where are you outside of me? Let me find you.
You should, Michelle, I think I'll make a gift to you. If nothing else, remind me through Barbara. I want to send you, my favorite book that I ever wrote was the most unpopular book I ever wrote. And it's called The Apprentice of the Heart. And the reason is people like me because they like the practical, sort of the self-realization practices and discovery. But this book was much more like a Rumi or a Gibran-esque type book. And it was my favorite. It took me 7 years to write, and it was based on some revelations that I had back in the 90s that I didn't even want to begin working on. But I'm going to get the book to you because I think that you would love the book as
oh,
a gift.
Thank you. That is so generous of you. Thank
well,
you
I
very
want
much.
To do it. Do not let me forget that the gift.
I want. Hey, a gift? I say yes.
Okay.
I am open
right.
and
okay.
receptive
all right. okay.
to all the gifts.
Okay.
Guys, so what message do you truly have for all of our beautiful listeners that have attuned today, wanting to be present? They are present, and they really want to be in their power. Find the power to never feel powerless again. What message do you have before we close?
Here's a good exercise. Any time that you feel any form of stress, any form of stress, and stress, fear, worry, anxiety, self-deprecation, anger, anytime you feel that contraction, that's the key. Remember that this moment where you're feeling the stress is born out of something in you resisting that moment. Then remember that you cannot resist a moment and learn from it. And if you don't learn, there can be no true integration. So here's the exercise. Catch yourself when you start feeling worried, anxious, nervous, competitive, ambitious, whatever it is, and come wide awake and say to yourself quietly, what has that got to do with my soul?
Mm-hmm.
What has that to do with my soul? And if we ask ourselves an awakened, honest question in a moment where we're nervous and stressful, we'll see that something in us has defined us by a terrible idea that we have to have or become something different than we are. And when we realize that this God, this beautiful intelligence that created us, has given us everything we need right where we are, right in the moment we're there, to be an instrument for this transformation that is at once a celebration of our own possibilities and a glorification of that divine life because we have done what we have been given to do, then we can realize, you know what? I really don't have anything more important to be, first of all, than awake, present to myself, and willing to see what is true in the moment. And if we do that, then the ambitions, the things we want to do, the paths of love, whatever, they'll all take their natural order. When things are in the right order, our lives get better. So that's what I would say.
That's what you did say.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Guy Finley, taking this time out from your very busy schedule. We really appreciate you.
You're delightful, Michelle, and I'm happy to spend time on the phone with you anytime you want to have a guest.
Thank you so kindly. Thank you. Again, dear listeners, I encourage you to go to www.essentiallaws.com or www.guyfinley.com and purchase this book. I gain nothing. There's no money or anything in it. Just your freedom. With this, thank you. Blessings to you, Guy. Blessings to you. And that's Infinite Love Radio for this week. Join us next week as our guest is Dr. Liliana Cherubnovsky. Is a medical intuitive energy healer and lecturer. She's a pioneer in the fields of medical intuition, energy medicine, human consciousness, and transformation. For now, with gratitude and appreciation to Guy and all of you for being present with us, knowing that we individually are unique emanations of God, the divine, the source of all good, all love, all light, let us claim this truth as who we really are. Accepting ourselves in the present moment, where we're aware of the beauty, the blessings, the goodness, the possibilities, and the power within to heal oneself, such as yourself. So for now, dear loved ones, I invite you to breathe in infinite love into every cell in your body and breathe out infinite love and give it to the whole world. For in truth, we are all one. And don't forget to visit my website, www.infiniteloveradio.com, and download free guided meditations, as well as you can sign up for my daily insights that I send out, daily insights to help and support you in your daily lives. Again, I invite all of your questions, suggestions, and comments to infiniteloveradio@yahoo.com or michelle@spiritualityinsideandout.com. This is Michelle Morvati, Infinite Love Radio. Thank you very much. God bless you all. I love you. Until next week, take good care of yourselves. Good day.